You know, it's bizarre. Trump did a Taco Tuesday again. He tacoed out on the Operation Freedom that he had announced Sunday night. And now, on Tuesday evening, he tacoed. And he said, nope, we're not going to do it anymore. That's what we're going to talk about here. I'm Mike Adams. Welcome to my short podcast here. Also, I was a guest with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis on his very popular program called Deep Dive with Daniel Davis. And that's on YouTube. It's a popular channel. We had a great talk. I really enjoyed that because I'm a fan of his show. And I don't think he knew that because I told him in the pre-show, I said, yeah, Daniel, I see you every day because, you know, I'm watching his videos and the guests. He has Colonel Douglas McGregor on with some frequency and many other really great guests. He had Chris Martinson on just the other day. And so I was thrilled to be a guest on with Daniel Davis. And he said that there's a member of his church, a woman, and that she is a fan of mine. And she had actually told him numerous times that he should invite me on. So whoever that is, I want to thank you. You actually made it happen. So you connected us. And anyway, you can check that out on YouTube. Daniel Davis somehow is not yet banned on YouTube. And that's a great thing because he's got some really important things to say. So anyway, on that show, we talked about famine. We talked about the oil, the fertilizer, the natural gas, the coming famine, and how the longer the Strait of Hormuz stays closed, the worse the situation looks in 2027, potentially affecting hundreds of millions of people, especially in marginalized countries, where right now a lot of people are facing near starvation conditions, and it hasn't even gotten, you know, bad yet. It's going to get a lot worse for many of those people. But Trump had announced Sunday night Operation Freedom, which I had mocked, calling it Operation Free-Dumb, because I knew it was delusional. And, you know, I'm sorry to say this. It doesn't bring me joy to, you know, to mock our president. I don't want him to fail. I want the war to be over. I want humanity to be okay. I want people to be able to eat, you know? I want economies to do well. I don't celebrate failures in diplomacy or failures in war. So kind of pains me to do this. But I knew that Trump's Operation Freedom wasn't going to last because he had announced that the United States was going to, quote, guide these commercial ships through the Strait of Hormuz, and that it was a humanitarian mission. He used those words specifically. This was a humanitarian mission to bring ships out of the Strait of Hormuz. And then, in less than a day, it was announced by, I think, CENTCOM commanders that, no, there will be no U.S. Navy ships escorting anybody. We're just going to be, quote, in the vicinity. What? In the vicinity? It's like if you hired bodyguards to accompany you on an important trip or something, and they said, well, you're not going to see us. We're just going to be in the vicinity. You know, we're not going to actually be next to you. That wouldn't really work. And I mocked this plan. I said, well, the U.S. Navy is only going to guide commercial tankers through the strait by radio. It's like, you know, breaker 19, breaker 19. I'm sorry, that's not how the Navy does it, but this is a little bit of comedy. Breaker 19, okay, come on through. You know, like that's Operation Freedom. Like, are you ready? Start your engines. Come on. Can you make it? Come on through, full steam ahead. That's the guidance. It's like, wait a second. What oil tanker captain is going to say, yeah, I'll just give it a shot and just risk my entire cargo and crew and ship. I'll just risk everything because the U.S. Navy said, come on down. You know, that's not going to fly. It was always delusional. And it was obvious to myself and many others from the very start that was delusional. Well, Trump has now confirmed that it was never a real thing. And here's what he tweeted out. I can't get past this. I don't even like talking about this, frankly. It's become such a pathetic situation of bad diplomacy. But Trump tweeted out the following. He said, quote, based on the request of Pakistan and other countries, the tremendous military success that we have had during the campaign against the country of Iran, and additionally the fact that great progress has been made, and for some reason he capitalizes random words like great and progress, has been made toward a complete and final agreement with representatives of Iran, which none of that is true, by the way. He says, quote, "We have mutually agreed that while the blockade will remain in full force and effect, Project Freedom, the movement of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, will be paused for a short period of time to see whether or not the agreement can be finalized and signed." President Donald J. Trump. So all of us are looking at this and saying, what? If Project Freedom was a humanitarian mission to guide oil tankers out of the Strait of Hormuz, to free the ships from being held captive, and to benefit the world with a humanitarian mission, then why would that mission be canceled because Pakistan said something? It doesn't make any sense at all. Why? Literally, it doesn't make any sense. And to claim that Project Freedom, quote, the movement of ships through the Strait of Hormuz. What ships? What movement? I didn't see any movement. Was it one ship? I mean, it's supposed to be 120 a day. You can't tell me that 1% of the traffic or 2% of the traffic is going to be a giant success or, quote, great progress or whatever else, you know, total victory. No, it's not even close. It's a pale shadow of total victory. None of this makes any sense. And I suspect, although I can't prove, but I suspect that Sunday night, Trump dreamed up Operation Freedom himself or with a couple of close advisors. I suspect he didn't run it by the Navy or the Air Force or anybody in charge on the ground. And he just made it up and tweeted it out. And then what happened over the subsequent 36 hours is that his military commanders told him, we can't do what you're saying. It's not possible. And then Trump had to come up with some reason to taco. So now we're being served Pakistani tacos on Taco Tuesday. Yeah, the special Pakistani variety of tacos. They're filled with like lentils and, you know, special delicious curry or something. I'm not mocking Pakistani food, by the way. It is actually quite delicious. But this is a whole new variety of tacos. You know, it's not the hamburger, meat, lettuce, tomato, cheese tacos of the West. This is the Pakistani taco. So at least Trump is serving up some different kinds of tacos on Taco Tuesday. Maybe next week we'll get like Indian curry tacos, you know? I'd be open to that. Maybe we get Lebanese tacos. Lebanese food is delicious and highly nutritious also. But we're going to get different tacos on different Tuesdays. It's just amazing. It's like being part of a political buffet. And this is what Trump has come to. It's kind of self-mockery. I don't understand where this is coming from. But I think he just makes things up and he tweets them out. And then his military tells him, hey, we can't do that. Remember, it was weeks ago that Trump said the Navy is going to escort ships out of the Strait of Hormuz. And everybody cheered. Oh, my God, we've won. It's over. The Navy is going to solve this. Never happened. Because the Navy commanders probably told Trump or, you know, Hegseth or somebody. Yeah, the last time we tried to get close with the Abraham Lincoln or the Gerald R. Ford, they got set on fire, you know. They were struck. And other ships have been struck. And, you know, every time we try to get close, we get hit with drones. So we probably can't do that. And that's why the escort missions never happened. And that's why they never will happen. Because unless you conquer Iran, I mean, you would have to send in 800,000 troops or something. You'd have to pull an Iwo Jima for the entire southern mountain range of Iran. Well, I mean, it's southern and it's southwest, that whole mountain range that goes up to the southwest, which is massive. It's, you know, 100 times larger than Iwo Jima. Well, probably way more than that. I mean, that I'm not even estimating that correctly. It's massive. You would lose hundreds of thousands of U.S. soldiers trying to clear out those caves and the tunnels and the roads and the booby traps and the anti-personnel mines, and you're dodging artillery and drones and everything else at the same time. It'd be a slaughter of U.S. soldiers to even attempt to clear out southern Iran or southwestern Iran. Only then could you even pretend to assert control over the Strait of Hormuz. And even if you did that, Iran can launch longer range drones from deeper inland because they have drones that can do 1,000 kilometers. And they have missiles that can do, you know, more than 1,000. They could do 2,000 kilometers. Easy. They've got more weaponry than you can possibly stop or interdict, especially with the limited arsenal of the U.S. Navy that only has a certain number of interceptor munitions that are loaded onto the ships, etc. So all of this talk that we control the strait, you know, you see Treasury Secretary Bessent or, you know, Fox News, Jesse Waters, like, we're in total control. Yeah, in your dreams, you're in total control. In your delusions, yeah, are you role-playing right now? Are you in a role-playing game? Are you at a furry party? Are you dressed like a squirrel and imagining you're in total control also? Is this a furry fairy tale? Because it doesn't have anything to do with reality. Nothing to do with reality. In reality, Iran remains in control over the Strait of Hormuz. Period. End of debate. Anybody who tries to argue with that is arguing from propaganda and misinformation instead of the facts on the ground. And if you think that the U.S. is in control over the Strait of Hormuz, then why are there still thousands of tankers stranded in the Persian Gulf? How come they haven't exited? See, that question answers itself, because the U.S. is not in control over the Strait of Hormuz. And as I've argued before, you can't fight geography. And you can't fight 5,000 years of Persian civilization. You can't bomb the math out of the Iranian engineers. You know, you can't bomb the knowledge of how to make missiles and drones or even centrifuges out of the memory of the Iranian people. It doesn't work. And you can't bomb your way to controlling the Strait of Hormuz. So this is a global tragedy. And I have said now on two different shows, I have said that if Trump really wanted to do something that was humanitarian, he should leave. Should leave the Middle East, take the Navy, declare victory, and just sail away. Let Iran charge its toll, run the strait, let the ships flow. Each of them pays $1 million or whatever, but not in dollars, probably in, you know, in yuan or something, or crypto, who knows. But they pay a toll, they get to sail. And then the world doesn't starve. That's acceptable. That's acceptable to me as an American. I can live with that. What I don't want to see is 10 Holocausts of mass starvation and death in 2027 because Trump and his ego wouldn't allow him to take a loss. I don't want to see Trump just months into this just saying, you know, we're still winning. You know, it's August and we're winning so much. We're going to keep winning all through the rest of the year while the strait stays closed, you know. Every day we're winning, but not really. In that scenario, the number of people who will die, if that comes true, the number of people who will die in 2027 will dwarf the Holocaust. That would be the most anti-humanitarian move or tactic that could possibly be contemplated. That would put Trump on a chart of history among the worst, you know, mass genocidal killers of humanity, Stalin and all the rest, but through a different mechanism, not by deliberately or directly starving everybody to death, but by cutting off the world's access to the food and the energy and the hydrocarbons that makes affordable food possible. It's the same result. Tens of millions could die. Hundreds of millions could starve, depending on how long this goes on. And that is firmly on Trump's shoulders. It's his decision to stay there that is leading to these consequences that cannot be avoided. the only way to stop mass death in 2027 is for the U.S. to stop the war. Because Iran is not going to give over control of the strait to the U.S. Iran is fighting an existential situation. They're fighting for their very future. They will not give in. Iran will only end this conflict and open the strait when Iran's terms are met. And Iran has been very clear about those terms. It includes compensation for the war damage. It includes Iran remaining in control over the strait. It includes ending economic sanctions against Iran. I think they also mentioned previously that they wanted Netanyahu turned over to the ICC for prosecution for war crimes and so on. I doubt that's ever going to happen, but that's one of their demands. So is there a little bit of wiggle room, maybe on, you know, the level of uranium enrichment? Yeah, probably. There's probably some negotiation room there. Like, we'll enrich to, you know, 15% instead of 60% or whatever. Or we'll stop enrichment at 3.5%. And the U.S. has to leave. And the U.S. has to sign a document that a non-aggression agreement with Iran, that we will not attack Iran. We will not initiate new wars with Iran. But then again, if the U.S. signs such a document, can anybody believe the U.S. on anything it signs, on any treaty, on any agreement? And honestly, the answer is no. You know, thanks to Kushner and Witkoff and some of what Trump has done with Netanyahu, the U.S. has burned its credibility. It's gone. It has no serious credibility in any negotiation or any agreement or any treaty. Frankly, that was also proven with Ukraine, too, dealing with Russia, you know, since the end of the Cold War, since 1991. All the promises of NATO and the West turned out to be worth nothing more than the paper they were written on. So the U.S. has zero credibility in terms of negotiating from good faith. So that's why the situation is dire, and that's why right now, from my point of view, what Trump is doing, it looks like he's floundering. Every day, some other desperate grasping at straws to try to find some magical tweet that will end the war, but it doesn't work that way. He's got to find some way to have a victory, to have a win. You know, Trump is the kind of person that has succeeded through most of his life as a developer of hotels and golf courses and real estate by simply saying things, making it seem real, and selling the dream through his words. He's a word weaver, you could say, a word sorcerer of sorts. He casts spells with his words, and that works in real estate because the value of a hotel is the perception of it. And a seller can talk up that perception and make somebody think it's worth way more than it is. But that doesn't work in kinetic war exchanges. It doesn't work with Iran. It doesn't work in the Strait of Hormuz. You can say we're winning. You can say we've won. You can say Iran is completely destroyed. Doesn't make it real. That's where Trump, the real estate developer, Trump, the hotel mogul, whatever, has collided with reality. And Trump can butt heads with reality all day and all night. All he's going to do is have a bruised forehead. He's not going to butt his way through reality. He's not going to talk away the real world ramifications of his actions. And he doesn't understand that, or he's just, I don't know, he's got too much of a hard head to see through that. At least that's my assessment. So every Tuesday, get ready for a new taco buffet. Every weekday, watch for some kind of new lashing out, some kind of grasping for some kind of a claim. Every weekend, watch for more bombing. You know, he'll bomb Friday night after the markets close all the way until late Sunday night when the pre-markets begin to start trading. And then, you know, weekday Trump will kick in Monday through Friday. Everything's great, you know. And then the next weekend, it's going to be weekend warrior Trump. Everything's bombing. Everything's, you know, destruction. We're going to end their civilization. We're going to bomb them into total darkness. And then again, Sunday night, that all changes. Oh, we're making progress now before the markets open. Everybody's figured this out at this point. The weekend warrior Trump pattern is more predictable than Taco Tuesday. at this point. Trump has become the most predictable propagandist to ever populate the Oval Office, and he's not fooling anyone anymore. Except maybe, you know, Jesse Waters at Fox News. It's like, that guy has lost any ability to think critically, obviously. So there we go. That's my take on where we are. I hope, I pray that this changes. I pray that either somebody can talk sense into Trump, or if necessary, the Republicans are going to have to remove him or convince him to resign, replace him with J.D. Vance, or do something along those lines, something that's constitutional, something that's legal. But Trump has become the impediment to the resolution of this conflict. Trump himself, his ego, or whatever arrangement he's got with Netanyahu, or whatever blackmail they might have on him, this has become the impediment to the world. And if we don't solve this, many millions of people will starve in 2027. And it'll be ugly. It'll be sad. It will be horrific, actually. It'll be a dark chapter of history that will remind some people of what the Allies found in the German concentration camps following World War II, when they freed those prisoners, skin and bones, like walking skeletons, out of those camps. Yeah, you're going to see that again, but not in black and white, in full color, if Trump remains in the way of finding a resolution here. So Trump thought he was going to go down in history winning the Nobel Peace Prize. He's actually going to go down in history as like 10 Hitlers if he doesn't change course here. Seriously. I can't think of a worse possible reputation than what Trump is setting himself up for. And history will not be kind to this man. And I'm trying to warn him. Many of us are. Alex Jones is trying to warn him as well. We're all trying to warn him, please change course. Please recognize this current course is disastrous, and it will not produce the results that you want. It's not a win for anybody. It's a loss for humanity. It's a loss for abundance. It's a loss for America. It's a loss for the whole world. Please change course while we could still maybe get a handle on this. Maybe, you know, we could recover from this if we stop the war tomorrow. We could recover. It'll still be costly, but not Mad Max. Not mass starvation by the tens of millions. We could stop this tomorrow. But will Trump be willing to do that? Well, we have to wait and see. So in the meantime, get yourself prepared. Grow your own food, you know. Plant your own gardens with heirloom seeds. Non-GMO seeds. We've got them. The ARC seed kits at healthrangerstore.com. Or maybe stockpile some food if you don't have enough already. We've got the food kits, the Ranger buckets, etc. at healthrangerstore.com. Certified organic, laboratory tested for many things, including heavy metals and glyphosate and much more. And packed in long-term, rugged, you know, shelf-life packaging. So that's all available at healthrangerstore.com. Support your local farmers. Visit your farmers markets. Visit your CSAs. Participate, you know. Get your neighbors up to speed if they're open to that. You know, the more people around you that you have prepared, the better off you're going to be as well. So, you know, talk to your church. If you go to church, you know, are they prepared? Are they ready to help the congregation make it through higher food prices or some level of scarcity that will be felt even in North America, even though we won't have, you know, won't have millions of Americans falling over dead from starvation, but we will have much higher food prices. And that's going to displace a lot of families out of their homes. You're going to see, if this situation continues, that is, if the Strait of Hormuz stays closed, my prediction is within the year 2027, you will have millions of Americans living out of their vehicles. You will see the middle class crushed because of higher fuel prices and higher food prices that will displace the ability of those people to spend discretionary income on things like rent or mortgages or fuel for transportation, etc. You're going to see homeless people and people living out of their vans down by the river. Yeah, just like that. It's going to get bad. So pray for a resolution, and thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here. You can follow my work at brightvideos.com, and you can catch my articles at naturalnews.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.